They are both four-letter words, give and make. They represent the opposite ends of the spectrum. A brash young man makes his demands, give. But a sadder, wiser young man offers a service, make me a servant. It's always a tragedy to learn it the hard way. It's an expensive tuition. It was for this young man. Bankruptcy, famine, loneliness, shabbiness, guilt. But it led him home, thank God. It led him home. Too many think only of what they can get. Their attitude is that God owes them something. He owes them health, adventure, profit, a chance to investigate evil, all of which they intend to use prodigally and charge it to a jovial, generous God as experience. And then there comes a sobering moment when a look down the road tells you something. It tells you that it is not what you can get from the Father that is important, but rather it's what the Father can do for you and through you that counts. And that is the change that makes everything else possible. The young man discovered something when he looked into the face of a hog, a pig. He knew he was a long way from home, a long, long way. Entrances can be decoys, mister. The excitement of traveling in a far country can have razzle-dazzle to it. The advertising promises you so much. It promises you a wealth of experience, real adult stuff. It promises you an opportunity to do your own thing. You can part from precedent. You can scorn tradition. You can taste and touch without rules. There are no inhibitions, nothing to fence you in. You can believe that, fellow, until you look into the face of a pig and realize how big a tumble you've taken. I read the glossy pages. I see the bright lights. I hear the sophisticated talk. I look at the garnish. The avenues to those hog pens, owned and operated by citizens, are the best lighted, most highly recommended thoroughfares in town. You can hardly wait to pay the fee. You feel you haven't lived until you learn what it's all about. There is an abundant supply of these hog heavens around. Get inside. Look at the merchandise. Examine the wares. Ask yourself what future is there. And I'll tell you this. You'll reach for more and more and get less and less. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. That's the test. Where is the satisfaction? It won't be at all what you dreamed it would be inside with the hogs. They told you that's where the best people gathered, the smart ones. They told you that's where you would find your kicks, the real ones. But they didn't tell you about the smell, stale and sour and sweaty. They didn't tell you about the filth, vulgar and degrading and cheap. They didn't tell you about the low IQ, brutish and ignorant and offensive. They didn't tell you about the hopelessness, murder and divorce and theft and lies. No man gave unto him. It's rapacious, it's the jungle, it's mire and muck. You are with hogs, mister, and you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be there at all. You were born for something better. There's a better sound than to be draped over some stool, listening to the swill of a person who hasn't enough sense to tell you his or her address. There's a better use for your money than throwing it at animals. There's a better way than coughing, spitting, inhaling, blowing, chewing, and wasting your substance. There's a better use for your body than to fill it with gonorrhea and syphilis. There's a better paradise than cocaine and heroin. There isn't much future romping with the pigs. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. He couldn't wait to cut loose. He wanted all that was coming to him. He didn't want to work for it. He wasn't prepared to earn it. It was give me. He had no sense of accountability. He hadn't got down to the three basic questions. One, where did I come from? Two, why am I here? Three, where am I going? He was in a hurry. There was so much to see. There was so much to do. He needed to spend. So soon he was to learn there was so much to be. Esau had that attitude. What profit shall this birthright do me? He wanted to set his own course. His stomach and entrails and taste buds were more important to him than his soul, his mind, or his conscience. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the fields, and Esau said, "Feed me with that same red pottage." The instinct was all earthy. God could wait. His appetite couldn't. It won't take you long to go through the soup or the substance, and I'll guarantee you one thing. I can give you this unqualified guarantee. You will be in want. The road that leads away from the Father promises you that. Something will gnaw on you worse than the hogs, the waste. You started with a good pair of eyes. They were piercing, perfect color and focus, never knowing a moment of pain or impediment. But take inventory. They're red and lusterless. Eyelids hang, nerves twitch. They no longer track correctly. You started with a first-rate heart organ. You could race, you could lift, you could swim for the distance. There wasn't a hitch, there wasn't a murmur, but it's different now. Riotous living has sent you a bill to be paid. You've got the agony and the mental anguish of knowing that you could drop at any moment. You have to make excuses for yourself. The motor is no longer reliable. Waste! You'll feel hell long before you get there. Hell is the eternity of waste. You turn the corner when you learn that life is a trust, sir. Father, I have sinned. Make me. It's the key that unlocks the door of home. That starts the recovery, sir, a change of attitude. There's no salvation without repentance any more than you can have water without hydrogen. One party has to say, "I'm wrong." And you are the party who is in trouble. It starts when you discover that you are not quite as big as you thought. Once you thought God owed you something, now you realize you owe God something, and that's the difference. I remember spending an afternoon with Mr. Walter Knott, developer of the famous Knott's Berry Farm operation in Southern California and a strong Methodist. He feels that God expects each of us to leave this planet an even more attractive world than when you and I arrived. He himself has worked hard and sacrificially at such a task, taking acres that were practically desert and sage, and in a lifespan creating park and pleasure and a source of enjoyment and education for the millions who have already visited. Mr. Knott feels an obligation toward his Creator. He is engaged in a service, and God is never in anyone's debt. Mr. Knott's corporation today is worth multi-millions. I'll tell you this, you'll get better treatment as a servant than you'll ever experience as a rebel. I believe God can pay his friends better than Satan his slaves. Food is better than famine. Love is better than loneliness. Merriment is better than misery. Forgiveness is better than being a fugitive. Compassion is better than condemnation. A robe is better than rags, and life is better than death. The Father will handle your life if you will let him. You can call it consecration, dedication, sanctification, or place any denominational tag on it. It all adds to this short prayer. Make me. Let anyone pray it sincerely one time, and things will begin to happen. He made Billy Sunday an evangelist, seen and heard by millions. He made George Washington and his ragged, unpaid troops victors. He made J.C. Penney an obscure storekeeper, a multimillionaire. He made Martin Luther a simple priest, the reformer who changed the history of earth. And you won't have to repeat that prayer. You stir another world. This my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. He's found. And they began to be merry. The happiness you feel in the center of God's will for your life beats anything you've ever known in riotous living. Listen to Paul's testimony. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Listen to John's testimony. "And hath made us priests and kings." Listen to the testimony of James. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." Listen to the testimony of Peter. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." The happy people, sir, are on God's side. The new birth is God's masterpiece. He takes total failure, a stumble bum, shredded, filthy, degraded, company for swine, and makes that person a new person. And God puts his divine insignia on that life, a ring and a kiss, and fits that person for the best company in two worlds. God does it, sir. It's his initiative. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, vested rights, authority to become the sons of God. You have his authority. Put a ring on his hand. No one can call you a failure again. No one dare send you into his fields to feed swine. There's a dignity you wouldn't trade for all the far country in hearing, "This is my son." A mistaken attitude is keeping you from fulfillment. Blowing your life isn't living your life. Paul saw what happened to him, what led him astray. He said he was blinded by the God of this world. He was misled. He was seduced. He thought life meant getting, spending on self, going for broke. But that changed at noon on the Damascus Road. So come back. Come all the way back. The pride of life can consume you in your passion to get. It left Hitler in shambles. It left Napoleon in exile. It left Pharaoh humiliated. And you and I don't know how to use God's gifts without God's control. The place of success is the place of service. Make me, and he will, and you'll begin to be merry. It's marvelous to see a stream of seekers finding their way so quickly to the long, long altar. I know things are going to happen in these next moments, so don't hesitate. If you're a first-timer, a great company will pray with you, so head toward the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds.